All right, so starting at the bottom of Nun Vav in a bit. Eighth favor of Yosef the Rabbah. So Rav Yosef, who's of the opinion that a Shomer Veda is a Shomer Sachar, is asking a Rabbah who believes that he's a Shomer Chinam. So he says, Zero the Malkum Shir, and if he takes the Aveda and returns it to a place where the Baal can see it, Ain't Chayev the Tapel, but he doesn't have to deal with it anymore. Nignava o Avda Chayev Be'achriyuta. Nevertheless, if it's stolen or lost from there, he's responsible for it. So now, my nignava o avdo, where is it stolen or lost from? Lav nignava mi beito v'avdo mi beito. Must be that it was stolen or lost from his house, because otherwise, why does it make sense? If he's not required to deal with it, once he puts it back in the location where the balim can see it, then why is there a question that he should be chayv for gneva aveda? So it must be that the gneva aveda is referring to when it's still in his house, that he's responsible if it gets stolen or taken from his house. And when he places it back in a location where the Balim can see it, he's no longer responsible. Now, the difference between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar is exactly that. A Shomer Chinam is Potter from Gneva and Aveda. He's not responsible when it comes to Gneva and Aveda. On the other hand, the Shomer Sachar is responsible. So this would indicate, or this Braisa would sound like, or the Tosefta here would sound like the position of Yosef, that a Shomer Aveda is actually a Shomer Sachar. So Gemara says, no, that's not the case. Look, Imalkam Sheikh Zira. If it gets taken or stolen from the location where he returns it so the Balaam can see it, then he's responsible. The Gemara says, V'haktani eno chayav l'tapelba. What do you mean he's responsible for it? We just wrote the first line in the Tosefta is that he doesn't have to deal with it once he puts it back there. That is when he returns in the afternoon. V'haktani, you have to break the Tosefta down into two different parts. V'haktani, this is what it means. If he returns it in the morning, to the location, the Makom Shir, and a place where the Balim can see it, Ushkiach Da'al Benofik, and that's a normal time, in the morning, it's a normal time when the Balim pass by, or would be likely to pass by there, the Chazila, right, and they would see it, then Ein Chayv L'Tapelba, then he is Patur. Hechzira B'Tzoraim, the Makom Shir, and if he places it in the afternoon, when it's unlikely that he would see it, Zalo Shkiach Da'al Benofik, Lo Chazila, he wouldn't, unlikely to see it, then V'Nignaro Avdo Chayv B'Achruta. So basically what the Gemara now says is what caused the problem at first, which is that there is Enu Chayav the Tapelba versus Nignava Vavda, which is Chayav. So before we said, oh, that steer we saw by saying his house versus the location where he could pick up the Aveda. Now the Gemara is saying, no, they're totally different cases. They're two separate cases. One case is where he returns it to the place he found it, or where the Balaam can see it in the morning, where there's likelihood that the Balaam will pass by that location and take it. That case he's not Chayav the Tapelba. But he puts it there in the afternoon, when it's unlikely that they will pass by there, or less likely, then he becomes responsible for the Aveda because he's doing something that is irresponsible by placing it there at that time of the day. Now another question. The Olam, who Chayav, that is Chayav, until he returns it to his Rishut. So it sounds over here that he, until it goes back to the owner's Rishut, the Shomer Aveda is responsible. So my the Olam, what does it mean, the Olam, he's always responsible for it? Lav afilu mi beito. That sounds like even if it's taken from his house, he's still responsible for it. Shrami na, kishomer sachar dami. Again, who's responsible for Gneva and Aveda? That's only a Shomer Sachar. So it sounds again like we're suggesting that a Shomer Aveda is actually a Shomer Sachar. So Amalei, so this is Rabba responding to Rabbi Yosef's question over here. Modina lecha bebalei chayim. I agree to your position when it comes to livestock. The kaven de nakte lehu nigra. Right, since they already took steps, Brisa, outward, by Nituruta Yeterta, they now need extra care or extra watching. I mean, since these animals have already been lost or gotten out once, right, then they are already Mumad, they're already accustomed to leaving or going out, and therefore it will not suffice, even for a Shomer Chinam, it will not suffice with a Shmira Pchuta. Generally, a Shomer Chinam only is required to provide Shmira Pchuta, but nevertheless, when it becomes to an animal over here, the reason that he has to watch it even more carefully, and he's responsible for it if he doesn't, is not because of what Rabbi Yosef states, because of the schar that he's getting from the pruta de Rabbi Yosef, but rather because he's a posheya. And that's the answer is that if he does not watch it, a shmira ma'ula, at this point in time, he's a posheya with the balei chaim, because he has to know that this animal is already an animal that's escaped once. If it's escaped once, it could escape again, and that demands of him to provide a better shmirah, and if he doesn't, he will be chayav in this instance. All right, now back the other way. So now we have Rav Yosef asking questions in Rabbah. Now we're reversing it. Eidvei Rabbah, the Rav Yosef, right, the other way around. Rabbah's asking now in Rav Yosef. Hashev, en li ala bebeiso, right, that is only to his house. leginato l'churvato minayin. How do I know that you can return an aveda not just to the house, but also to the gina, to the garden, or the churva, to the, you know, some destroyed area? Minayin tamalomer tishivim mikol makom. Doesn't matter how you get it back to the owner. No matter how you get it back to the owner, that's fine. So now, my leginato l'churvato. What does it mean that you're returning it to his garden and to his churva, right? To some destroyed area, empty area. If you're talking about a garden that's, you know, well encircled or encompassed or is guarded, I mean that it's a secure area, and same thing with the churva, then hainu beito, it's no different than his house. Of course you can return it to there. He puts it in a gina or a churva, even though they're not guarded like a house. Nevertheless, he's allowed to return to those areas, and that's enough. Shpamina kishomer chinam dami. Right, so that indicates that this Shomer Aveda is like a Shomer Chinam, because we don't demand of him to return it to a Shamur place. And returning it to his property is sufficient. Right, but that might come from a different halacha, right? That might not be considered a returning of the property. Meaning that in the indication, when he places it there, it might be a reasonable place for a Shomer Aveda to place it so that the Balaam can get it. I mean, it'd be more likely that the Balaam will find it there, and therefore that's why he's patur. Over here, he's actually trying to return it to the Balaam themselves. Right? So that would not be considered returning it to the Balaam themselves when he places it in Makom Shirena. It's just that from what we expect from a Shomer Aveda, we expect him to return it to the Balaam, and he's making reasonable efforts to return it to them by placing it in a location he can see it and identify it. Over here, he's trying to actually physically return it to him. And what is classified as returning it to him. So I think they're coming from different perspectives of returning. If you look down, like the first Tosos in the line, the first line in the down below, the Tosos in the line down below, the first wide lines in Tosos. So he says, Perish Ela Baruch Mitsuya. We can't be talking about a Gina that is totally not, right, watched. When we say Eno Mishta Meret, it means that it's only watched in a normal course or a normal manner. That's sufficient for him to return it. For Shomer Chinam, a Shmira Pchuta. What's the difference between a Shmira Pchuta and a Shmira Mula? We just saw that in the Mishnah, right? Kira'ui means that it stands up against a Ruach Mitzuya, normal circumstances. And what's a Shmira Mula? Is it can stand up even to Ruach Shena Mitzuya. So that's the case here. The case here of Eina Mishtamerit is a case where it would stand up to normal events. And therefore it's considered a Shmira Pchuta. And a Shmir Chuta is only sufficient for a Shomer Chinam and not for a Shomer Sachar. So that's what the Gemara is after over here, differentiating between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar. Now, the Gemara answers up no. The Olam, the Ginato Mishtameret, or the Chuvato Mishtameret. We're talking about a case where it really is Mishtameret. Over here, Mishtameret means that it would stand up even to be a Shmir Mula. If that's the case, how's that different than returning to his house? The very important factor here that we don't need the Balaam to know that you returned it. Right, that everybody, when you're talking about any transaction or any interaction between different people, like for a Ganav, a Gazlan, or any of the four Shomrim, we're dealing with those interactions and you're trying to return an object to the owner must be aware of the fact that you returned it to them. Without the awareness of the owner, it's considered as if you didn't return it. The one exception to that rule is Shomer Aveda. Shomer Aveda is entitled to return it without the Da'at Balim. Why? Because the Torah included many Hashavot. I mean, the term Hashav Tishivim is used multiple times, and that comes to indicate to us that just returning it is simply enough. That the Balim don't have to know about it, but getting it back into their property is enough to be considered a return by the Shomer Aveda. So that's what the Braitha comes to teach us here. It's not that Mishtamer, it's a low Mishtamer, but it comes to teach us Beito usually means that the Balaam know about it. When he's talking about Ginato v'churvato, even though it's Mishtameret, it's the same as his house, but he wouldn't know about it there. Nevertheless, it's sufficient for you to return it there like Rabbi Elazar, that you don't need that Balaam. So Amalei Abai, the Rav Yosef. So Abai says to Rav Yosef, Adlo Tizbro, the Shomer Aveda, the Shomer Chim Dami? Do you really believe that a Shomer Aveda is a Shomer Sachar? You don't believe that it's a Shomer Chinam? V'ha Amar Rav Chia Bar Av Amar Rav Yochanan Hatoin Ta'anat Ganav V'Aveda Mishalem Tashlemei Keito. Person who makes the Ta'ana of being stolen by a Aveda, he pays Tashlemei Keito. So what is this? This is a case, right? We have this case. We read it in Parsha Mishpatim this last week, But that is that when you have the difference between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar, we just said before, is whether they're Patur or Chayav for Gneiv and Aveda. The Shomer Chinam is entitled to be Patur from Gneiv and Aveda. He just says, he takes a Shvu'ah, and he says, I'm Patur. Now, one of the ways that he can do this is by being Tomei Tanat Ganav. He can make a claim that it was stolen from him. If he makes a claim that it was stolen from him, and that, what does that do for him? That makes him now Patur from paying back the owners the item. If he's patur from paying back the owners, that is, and then he's found out to be the ganav himself, the one who was guarding it was the ganav, he has to pay kefil to the owners. But that's not true of a shomer sachar. If a shomer sachar claims that it was stolen from him, what does he have to do now? He has to pay the owners the keren. He has to pay them the full amount. Therefore, there's no, if he's found out to be the ganav himself, there's no kefil to pay because he was already out the money to pay for it. Now, what over here we're saying, what about a shomer aveda? So a shomer aveda comes and claims that he did have the lost object, he found it, but then it was stolen from him. Then we find out that it really wasn't stolen from him, he actually stole it. He pocketed the item. Then he has to pay kefil. He has to pay kefil to the owners. That would only be true if you are a shomer chinam. That would not be true if you were a shomer sachar. That's what the Gemara is saying over here. According to the way Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan says, Atomi tanat ganav aveda mishlem tashulmei kefil. That's the case. V'sakadatcha shomer sachar avi amai mishlem tashulmei kefil. Why is he paying kefil? Karna b'ilu shlumei. When he makes a taino that it was stolen from him, if you're a shomer sachar, that means you pay up right away. There's no patur for being gneiv and aveda, are not reasons to be patur by a shomer sachar. You have to pay the balim right away. So there's no reason to have to pay kefil later on. The only time you pay kefil is if you make a taina, you make a claim that is poter you, that frees you of any obligation. Over here, the shomer sachar is not freed of obligation by saying that it was nignaf, that it was stolen from him. So amalei achol ma'eskinon. There is one case. There's one case by a shomer sachar where he is patur. What is the case by shomer sachar? It's the case of ones. And what is the case of ones? But ma'eskinon kagon shetomei tanat listim mizuyayin. That they came, they were armed robbers. Armed robbers, a shomer sachar is also patur from, because ma'avalei the me'avad. What could he have done? I mean, that when it's normal gneiv and aveda, we said he should have taken more care, he should have been more careful with it. But when they come with armed robbers, he's at a loss. I mean, he couldn't have done anything. They're holding him to gunpoint. Of course he's going to give up the object. There's nothing to talk about. He's a complete ones. And a shomer sachar is patur ba'ones. So now that's the case. The case here is it's a shomer aveda. He claims that armed robbers came in and took the aveda from him. So now he's patur from paying for it. Now the only question left is, does he pay kefil in that case? Are listim mizuyain, are they armed robbers really ganavim? What's the difference between a ganav and a gazlan? Right, a gazlan is somebody who comes in the open and steals from you. A person who doesn't, is not afraid to come and steal in broad daylight. A ganav is someone who does it in underhanded manner, does it at night, does it in a way that he doesn't get caught. Listim mizuyain, right, armed robbers are the type of people that show up. They don't really care what time of day. They're coming with their guns and they're going to take what they want when they want. So that's the Gemara's question now. Amalei, listim mizuyin gazlanhu. When you're talking about armed robbers, that's a gazlan. And the din of kefil only applies to a ganav, not to a gazlan. So Amalei, shani omer, listim mizuyin, kemen de mitamer mi'inshe ganavu. No, armed robbers are also try to hide from people. They don't walk around with their weapons sticking out, right? They try to do things in a quieter manner, you know, they show the gun and they say, listen, if you don't give it to us, we'll pull it out, but they don't really walk around with their guns blazing right in the middle of the street. So since they are trying to cover up what they do, they're just like ganavim. So this is the claim of Rav Yosef here, is that listim mizuyim, armed robbers, are actually really ganavim. If they're ganavim, then when the shomer sachar says that it was stolen from me by armed robbers, that means he's patur, he doesn't have to pay. But if he doesn't have to pay, if he's found out to be the robber now, he's going to have to pay kefil because he made a claim of ganav, of gneva, and now he has to pay kefil if it comes up to the case that he was really the one who stole it. All right, now Eitave. The Gemara is going to challenge this position or this idea that a listi mizuyim, armed robbers, are really ganavim and not gazlanim. How do you know this? Why? Lo imamart. This Rashi says he doesn't know where this from, where this brisa is from. It seems to be it's a brisa that's discussing a comparison between a shomer sachar and a socher, or a shomer sachar and a shoel. So now, lo imamart, this shomer chinam, how can you compare them? Shomer chinam shekei mishalim tashlumei kefil, tomar b'shomer sachar she'enu mishalim tashlumei kefil. How can you learn, or how can you compare a shomer chinam to a shomer sachar? A shomer chinam pays kefil when he makes a taina of gneva. A shomer sachar, when he makes a taina, makes a claim of gneva, he doesn't pay kefil. V'isak adas, according to you, Rav Yosef, that listim mizuyanim are ganafu, that armed riders are considered ganavim, nimsa b'shom asachar meshalim tishlami kefel. I can find you a case b'shom asachar that you also pay kefel. The Gemara says, "B'toin tanat listim zuyim," when he makes a claim that it was stolen from him by armed robbers. So both a shomer chinam and a shomer sachar have a case where they can be poter themselves, they can free themselves from their obligations by making a claim. Shomer chinam when he says gneva, and a shomer sachar when he says listim zuyim. And if they get caught now, they're going to have to pay kefel. So how can you make a differentiation between shomer sachar and shomer chinam when they actually have the same exact claim? Now this is how you explain the difference between them. Lo imam mar pishur mechinam shkei mishalim tushleim kefel bechol tanotav. In all instances of geneva, he's going to pay kefel. So mar pishur b'sachar shenu mishalim tushleim kefel ella betoin tanat listim mizuyin. That it's only in that unique case where it's armed robbers is he patur. But that's not a general category for a shomer sachar. For shomer chinam, the whole category of geneva is patur, and he'll pay kefel if he's caught. That's not true by a shomer sachar. So the Gemara is going to now question that again. Eitveh. It says, V'nishbar omet. Right, that when is he patur? You're patur when it's nishbar omet. Nishbar omet is an ones. Shomer sachar is patur in the cases of an ones. Ein le'ele shvura umeta. Right, geneva v'aveda minayin. Right, what about geneva and aveda? How do I know that by geneva and aveda you should also be chayav? Right, so, amar kavachomer. What? No, that's for a shomer. This is for a shomer. We're learning from a shomer sachar. We're going to learn from a shomer sachar, right, to a case of a shoel. By a shoel, it says nishbar omeit, right, that he's going to be chayav. And we know by a shomer sachar, by nishbar omeit, he is patur. Now, the Gemara wants to know, how do we know that by a shoel, he's chayav for geneva and aveda? How do we know that he's also chayav for not only onsin, but also geneva and aveda? So it's kavachomer. Umar shomer sachar shepater bo shvur al meita. Shomer sachar that's pater when it comes to ones, right? When it's shvur al meita, which is the case of ones, chaya b'gneva aveda, still responsible when it comes to gneva and aveda. Shoel, right? A borrower shechaya b'shvur meita, he's chayav even for onsin. Enu din shechaya b'gneva aveda. Certainly she b'chayav by case of gneva aveda. V'ze kal v'chomer she'en alav tshuva. This is a kal v'chomer that has no answers to it, meaning that it's a good kal v'chomer. It stands the test. Right? It stands the test of logic. Wait a minute. Well, we just found a reason to undermine this kavachomer. If you believe that armed robbers are considered ganavim, amai in alav tshuva. How come there's no upending of this kavachomer? Ikal mifrach, you can challenge the kavachomer. Malu shomer sachar shukei mishalum tishlumei kefel betoin tanat listim mizuyanim. Right, that there's a kula by shomer sachar that he can actually get out of gneva aveda when it comes to a case of listim mizuyanim. Listim mizuyin are ones, the case of ones. And we just said before that the shoel is chayav by ones. Right? And here the shomer sachar is patur in the case of ones, even in the context of geneva and aveda. So the Gemara says, no, you have to look at the context. Amalei kasara haitana, karna b'lo shvua, adifa mikvela b'tshvua. Right? There's two different options. When it comes to making a tana, when you make a claim, right? There are two different options when you make a claim that something is, like for instance, stolen from you. If a shomer sachar says that something is stolen from him, then he has to pay the karen up front. He's got to pay right away, he's got to pay the karen, and then if he was found out to be the one who stole it, he already paid for it. If someone else who stole it, they'll pay kefel to the shomer sachar. On the other hand, like for instance, in the case of a shomer chinam that makes a claim of gneva and aveda, if he makes that claim, he has to take a shvuah. He has to swear that it wasn't, he was lo shalach yado b'melechet reyu, that he didn't do it, or he didn't take it. Right now, if he's found out to be the ganav later on, he will have to pay kefa. So that's the question. Which is better for the owner? Is the owner better off getting his money up front and getting the keren? Or is the owner better off having the shomer swear falsely and end up with kefa, end up with double? Right. So which is the better outcome for the owner when they find the ganav? Just to get his keren back? Or is he better off getting a double payment if there's something wrong here? So that's what the Gemara says. Kasavar haitano, karno below shvua. Getting the Karen up front is better than having to get the Kfela b'shvua. I mean, that better than getting the Kfel when he takes the Shvua to be poter himself. So now, if you look, the Knas, or what you understand is that the Kfel is coming because of the false Shvua. That's basically the answer here. So that's the point of the Shvua is what generates the Kfel. Without the Shvua, you won't get to the Kfel. So therefore, now, if you look in Rashi, just quickly across from where we are in the Gemara, that big, this is a big Rashi here, Karnabalo Shvua, Difa Mikfela b'shvua. Shuel Adif. The Shuel is in a better position. Why? The Chumrah of a Shomer, of a Shoel, is the fact that he always pays Karen. Even in my cases of Ones, he's going to pay the Karen up front. Mishomer Sachar should patur aleihem. Shomer Sachar is patur for Ones. Afal pishish, Mishomer Sachar kefel. Betoin tanat listim zuyin. If the Shomer Sachar makes a claim of Ones, but it's Ones because of armed robbery, right, in that case he's going to be patur. But if he's caught, he'll have to pay kefel. So what we were suggesting before, that a Shoel is always more chamor than a Shomer Sachar. But in this instance, what? The Shoel actually has a kula. He will always only pay, no matter what his claim is, he'll only pay Karen. Whereas the Shomer Sachar can end up paying kefel, can end up paying double. And that's the answer of the Gemara. Ain't ze chomer. That's not a chomer. The kefel ain't obe shomrim, achi shivada sheker. You only pay kefel once you've sworn falsely. Shenignava himen. It was stolen from him, but achakach bo edim. And then edim have to come and say that he was caught and that it was really him. So that's what the Gemara says. It's still a chomer. Right, it's still a kula of Shomer Sachar that he can take a shavua and pater himself, even though in the end he might pay kefil. He may end up paying double. Paying double is not a chumrah because there's too many conditions to get there. You have to swear falsely. Then we need Adim to come and testify for him. So since it's so far-fetched or so far off, the fact that he pays double is not a chumrah. It's a kula. Whatever we look at what is immediately in front of you. What's immediately in front of you is that a Shomer Sachar will be patur in cases of ones, and a Shoel will be chayav in a cases of ones. And therefore we can make this kal v'chomer. If by Gnev and Aveda, if a Shomer Sachar is Chayav by Gnev and Aveda, certainly a Shoel would be Chayav by Gnev and Aveda. Now the Gemara says, wait, Lema Messiah, let's say this, we can prove this. Hasocher para michaveiro v'nigneva. Someone who rents a para, right, rents a cow from his friend, and then it's stolen. V'amar halah, hareini mishalem v'enu nishba. And the socher, the renter, says, listen, you know what, I, even though I'm entitled to take a shvu'ah to be patur here, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to pay you the Karen. I'm just going to pay you for it. I want to be off the hook here. And then they find the ganav. In that case, it's the same din as a shomer chinam, right? That a shomer chinam has two choices when he's stolen from him. He can either say, I'm patur, and take a shavuah that he's patur, or he can say, listen, I prefer not to take a shavuah. I'm going to pay for it. If he pays for it, he becomes the owner of the item now. And if there's a ganav that's found later on, the kefil goes to the shomer chinam. So same thing here with the socher. Socher has an option. He can take a shavuah and pater himself, or he could pay up for the item up front and become the owner of the item. Now, the question is, by a socher, how can a socher be poter himself from a shavuah? Isn't a socher a shomer sachar? So where is the case where a shomer sachar can take a shavuah and be poter when it's nigdava, when it's stolen? Right? There's only one case. What is that? Right? Sabrua. Right? So what do you think? What's the case where he's going to be poter by nishba? Whereas when he takes a shavuah, that what? That it was a shomer sachar, that it was a case of gneva. And he's taking a shavuah, it's got to be a case of listim mizuyain. Right? It's the only case by shomer sachar where he's going to be patur because he takes a shavuah, the case of listim mizuyain. So avruah ki Rabbi Yehuda. You think that this brisa over here is going like Rabbi Yehuda? Damar socher kenosi sachar dami. Your whole proof, right, is coming from the fact that you believe what, that this brisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that a socher is a din of shomer sachar. When you tell me v'amar reini mishalem v'enu nishpa mechlal di bai patur le'nafshei b'shvuah. But and that sounds, or that indicates what? That he could have taken a shavuah and be patur. Hey chidami, what's the only case? We just explained that a shomer sachar can take a shavuah and be patur. Kagon, t'kain tain, tain, listein mizuyin. And he claims that it was taken by armed robbers. V'ktani acharkach v'nimsa ganav mishalem t'shalmei kefel. That's okay, he pays kefel. That indicates to you that listim mizuyin, shema minav, listim mizuyin are ganavu. They really are ganavim. Because over here we have a case where we have a shomer sachar who's able to take a shavuah, he doesn't in the end, pays off the owners, he becomes the owners, and he's going to get paid kefil. You only pay kefil when you're classified as a ganav. So it must be that these armed robbers are classified as ganavim. So the answer, based on what I told you, the Gemara already gave you the assumption in this Gemara here, what's the answer to the Gemara? There's two opinions about what the din of a socher is. One opinion is that it's a shomer sachar. The other opinion is that it's a shomer chinam. Your question, or your premise, is only true if you believe that a socher is like a shomer sachar. Right, so that's the Imri. Misavarat Rabbi Yehuda. Who says you have to hold like Rabbi Yehuda? Damar socher kenosi sachar dami. Dilma kem Rabbi Meir spirale. Maybe you hold like Rabbi Meir. Maybe this Bryce is going like Rabbi Meir that says it's a shomer chinam. Damar socher ke shomer chinam dina dami. If the case of shomer chinam, it's easy to come up with a case where he can take a shavuah and be patur. What's that? All cases of gneva and aveda. There he can take shavuah. And regular case of gneva and aveda, it's easy to find out a case where he's going to have kefil. That's one answer. Ibai teima. The other possibility is Kimachlif Rabba Barabua. right? Like this is not that this is changes the din at all. This doesn't do anything except if you remember we saw this earlier in the Gemara on Memhei that Rabbi Barbua changes their opinions. It says that Rabbi Yehuda believes it's Shomer Chinam and Rabbi Meir believes that it's Shomer Sachar. So when we say that it's like Rabbi Yehuda, we mean like Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a Shomer Chinam. The same answer, but just changing who has the opinion of Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar. Right? Betani Socher, Kids of Mishalem, Rabbi Meir Omer Kishomer Sachar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kishomer Chinam. So by changing the opinions, now you can even set it up like Rabbi Yehuda over here, even though, again, it has no Nafkamina Lalocha over here. Then Rabbi Zera offers another alternative answer. Amar Hachol Ma'eskinan, Betoin Tanat Listim Mizuyin, Benistim Nimsa Listim Shein Mizuyin. Oh, I have a case. I'll give you a good case. What is it? It's a case where the Socher came along, even if we believe he's a Shomer Sachar. So Shomer Sachar that's stolen from by Listim Mizuyin is Patur. According to everybody, it's Patur. It's a question whether he's a Ganav or Gazlan, but it is Patur. Then they find the robbers. And they find out that the robbers were actually not armed when they took it. They were unarmed when they took it. If they are unarmed when they took it, then they were really ganavim, right? And not gazlanim. So the case is where the socher is making a claim that they are gazlanim, that they were listim zuyin, but we find out in the end that they were really ganavim. So since they are ganavim, in the end they have to pay kefel because they were really ganavim. But the claim that he's making is a claim of gazlan, of listim zuyin, and that's why he's able to take a shavua up front. So he lies, he either takes a shvuah or he pays. Once he pays, he takes ownership over it. And then when they find these armed robbers, we find out they're not really armed robbers, they're just regular robbers. They're regular robbers, they got to pay kefa. So that's how we explain the case in the Braisa, that it doesn't prove anything, that at least the Mizrayin are ganavim, because they could be gazlanim. But the whole reason that they are paying kefa over here is because they really were not armed. That was just a claim. But that's not the reality of what happened over here. Right now, the... But that he made a claim. When he makes, like a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar, when he makes a claim that he's patur from, has two options. He can either take a Shavu'ah to poter himself, or he can pay for it. So over here, he took the option to pay for it, even though he could have patered himself with a Shavu'ah. So then, now he owns it. Now he's got it. Now they find the robbers. When they find the robbers, they find out they were not armed robbers, but just regular robbers. So they have to pay kefal. Who do they pay the kefal to? They're the Socher, because he took possession of the item now by paying the Karen, by paying up to the owners. Okay. Now, the next part of the Mishnah, right, we said that if he falls in, naflada gina, v'nenit, mashalim mashenenit. If he falls into the garden, he only pays for the hanah that he did, not for the hezek. So amrav, v'nechbeta. When is he paying for the hanah? Here is when the animal falls down into the garden and he lands on it, meaning that that cushions his fall. Then he's protected. Avala va'achla filu mashenenit, enim mishalamit. So what you're suggesting now, that if he eats, what he eats there, he doesn't have to pay for it. He just has to pay for the stuff that cushioned him. But if he goes around and eats the negin afterwards, you don't have to pay for him. Lema Rav Latame. Let's say this is Rav according to his reasoning before. What did we see Rav earlier in the Masechta? Dama Rav, Hayala Shalotochal. The animal shouldn't have eaten. Right? Well, again, it's when you put the poison in front of the animal, a case where the animal eats and gets a stomachache. And in those cases, we say that the mazik is patur. Why is the mazik patur? Because the animal shouldn't have eaten it. So same thing over here. We're going to say that he doesn't have to pay for the field because the animal shouldn't have eaten. So Mar says, Imri Hakiashta. Right? What type of comparison? That this is not the same type of case. Imri Dama Rav Hatam Hayelash Lotochal Hechadit Zaka He. Right? That's when the animal itself is getting hurt. You say that the animal shouldn't have eaten the item. We can say to him, what are you doing eating poison? What are you doing eating too much to get sick? The Matzirmalei Mare De Pere, the owner of the fruits, can say to him, Lo Mishalmana. Right? I'm not going to pay for your damage to your animal. Hayelosh Lotochal. Right? That they shouldn't have eaten it. Mazuke He. But right, what is this now over here? Shlotochal lazuke he achrine the ptira lishlume miamar. So in a case here, wait, what are you trying to do? He goes, the animal damages someone else. He's doing hezek to someone else, and you're going to say, oh, listen, buddy, I don't have to pay you because my animal shouldn't have eaten it. What type of claim is that? You're going to make a claim when the animal hurts itself to say that he shouldn't have eaten it. When the animal goes and damages other property, right? How can you make a claim that shlotochal? It's a lomi bayikamar. What's the lomi bayikamar? Lomi bayachlad mishalamet mashenenit. It's clear that when he eats, right? When he eats, he's got to pay what he got benefit from. Aval nechbeto, when it lands and it's cushioned its fall by the fruits or the vegetables that it lands on, ema mavriach harim nechseich haveruhu umashenenit nami lo mishalim. So what are we going to say? This is a case of mavriach harim. What's a mavriach case of mavriach harim? It's a case where I saved my friend from loss. I chased away a lion. A lion was coming to eat his flock, and I chased away the lion. I have no claim. I can't go to him and say, now pay me for chasing away the lion. right? Because I did something that was positive, I did something good, but I can't go and make a claim for a payment at that point in time. So same thing over here. He says, what happened? The animal fell down, and it landed on the cushion by the peirot. When it's cushioned by the peirot, maybe I would say, what? That it's mavriach harit. You just saved my animal from getting hurt. Right? You didn't do anything. So kamash malan, right, that we don't say that in this case over here. We don't say that it is mavriach harit minechasav. Ema hachanami, why don't you say mavriach harit minechasav chavero? Right? Mitatohu. So the Gemara says, well, why don't you say that Ema Hokanami, that what our claim here is that it's not Mavriach Harim Nechasav, and that's why it's Chayav to pay when it cushions the fall of the animal. The Gemara says, why not? Why not say it's Mavriach Harim? So the Gemara says, well, let me tell you what Mavriach Harim Nechasav is. Mavriach Harim Nechasavero Midat Tohu. That's only when he does it with knowledge. When he goes and chases away the lion from your flock, he was actively doing something. He knew what he was doing. He knew that he was contributing or helping you out. There you can't make a claim for compensation. Halav Midato. Over here, the owners have no idea that they're helping your animal or protecting your animal from the damage that's doing, right? So even though you're doing a mitzvah, in a sense that when you help out your friend, it's doing a mitzvah, and if you were just chasing away a lion, again, you'd be patur over here, or the owners would not have to pay this individual. But over here, they're taking without asking, meaning that they're taking the benefit of these vegetables and fruits that are protecting the animal by falling on them without the knowledge of the owner. Inam, I mean, the other possibility is, Mavriach Harim Nechasav Chavero Leit Pseido. Case of Mavriach Harim of Chavero, there's no loss. To the one who chased away the animal, he didn't lose anything. He did something actively, he chased away the animal. But again, he didn't take any loss on his personal property to protect your property over here. Hayis Leit Pseido, on the other hand, here, when you land on his fruits and vegetables, you're crushing the fruits and vegetables. He's taking a loss to protect your animal. In that case, he's going to have to pay up. So that's what the Gemara says here. Our case is differentiated from Mavriach Harim Minechasei Chavero for two reasons. Mavriach Harim Minechasei Chavero has two conditions to it. One condition is that the person who's doing the chasing away of the lion for his friend must know about it, know that he's performing this mitzvah. And number two is he has to not incur any monetary loss in doing it. In both those instances, then you can say, I don't have to pay you anything for what you did. But in a case where either he is presented with a loss, or he's presented with he doesn't know that he's protecting you or taking care of you, those two instances you are chayav to pay him, and that's the case here. The animal fell out of the Reshut Rabim into his field and was protected from falling into his peirot. He had no idea this animal was coming here, number one. Number two is he suffered a loss by the animal landing on his fruits and vegetables. So both of those will then obligate the owner of the animal to pay in this case, even though it was just to protect his animal. I mean, that his animal was cushioned, the blow to his animal was cushioned. Nevertheless, he still has to pay up here because there's both loss and no knowledge of the owner who is protecting him. So my other word says, Heichinafa, how did this animal fall? How did it end up in this field over here? Rav Kana Amar, Shehuchluka B'meimei Raglea. It slipped on its urine. So why do we have to have this type of case, this unusual case here? Because it has to be a case of ones, but a case of ones that the owner should not even have contemplated. That's what I say, a case where it urinated and then it slips on its urine, that's so unusual, not a case that the owner of the animal should contemplate it, therefore it's complete ones that it fell into the field. Rav Amar Shadachta Chaverta, that its friend, another ox or another animal came along the street and bumped it. You know, they gave him a little shift and it went flying off the side. So the one who says that it was bumped by another animal, he would certainly agree in a case where it slips on its urine that it's an ones. The one who says that it's urine, meaning that Rav Kahana says that it slips in the urine is an ones, that a case of when it's another animal bumped it off the road, that's a pshia. It doesn't pay just what the hana got, but it pays for all the damage it did. Why? Because that's pshia. He should have been more careful. You shouldn't have had two animals passing at once. You should have gone single file over here. You should have made room, given yourself distance between the other animals. I mean, you're a posheya for not considering the other animals that are in the Reshut Rabim. And that is something you should have considered. That's not unusual. That's not something that is out of the ordinary. And therefore, you are held culpable in this case for the full hezek and not just the hana. Amar Rav Kahana, lo shanu ela ba'ota aruga. The only time that he pays Masha and Nenit is in that aruga, in that patch itself. Once it gets up and moves to the next patch, the animal doesn't just pay for the hanoah that it gets, but it pays for the full hezek that it did. That even if the animal continues moving around the field all day long, he is patur from the hezek. He only pays the hanoah, meshaneni. Ad, what's until when? Ad should take say, so the animal leaves that field, v'tachzor ledas, and returns with the Balim knowing. I mean, the Balim know that it's left the field, and now it returns with their knowledge. Then they have to pay for hezek, not just for the hana that they got there. Don't say that it has to leave with the knowledge of the Balim, of the owner of the animal, and return with the knowledge of the animal. Once it leaves the field with the owner, the animal owner's knowledge, even though it returns without him knowing about it, he is chayav. Why is he chayav if he doesn't know that his animal's in there? Since it tasted the good life, it knows where the goods are now. The animal, anytime it gets away or gets loose, is gonna, you know where it's heading. It's heading right for that field because it knows where the produce is now. So now the Balim have to take extra precaution and have to know that as soon as their animal is out of that area, that there's a very high likelihood that it will be back in that neighborhood again because he knows that he can get food over there. So because of that consideration, the owners have to be extra careful. And if it ends up back there, even without their knowledge, they're considered culpable in this case, according to Rav Papa, because that's no longer considered an ones. That's considered already to be pshia, that he didn't watch it carefully enough so that it could not get back to that location again. All right, we'll do this big tosfos tomorrow, which discusses the fine lines or the differentiations in Mavriach Ari Minichse Chavero. All right? Good.
All right.
How did that work? That was it was.